在线英语听力室 tinroom.com 欢迎您。
I'm Avi Arditi with Roseanne Skirbel, and this week on Wordmaster, prepositions for the perplexed.
The other day, our colleague Julie Tabot told us about a friend of hers, a non-native English speaker. It seems he once tried to tell someone that the person should expect to hear from him again. But instead of saying, I'll get back to you, he said, I'll get back at you.The wrong preposition sent the wrong message. To get back at someone means to take revenge.
Julie had no idea that we had just gotten off the phone with a retired English professor in Canada. David Thatcher has written a book called Saving Our Prepositions, A Guide for the Perplexed. Actually, it's an e-book which you can download free of charge at savingourprepositions.com.
David Thatcher says he thinks the misuse of prepositions is an increasing problem, but it's a problem with a long history.
I think it's been pointed out by grammarians for about 200 years that people don't know how to use them properly.
Well, what are they?
They're part of speech. Let me give you some examples first, and then perhaps make it easier for you. Around, at, before, past, upward, up, in, on. And their job in a sentence is to link...or relate one part of a sentence to another. And so you can see them as the connective tissue of language. If you say, I went to the cinema, my friend, the evening, the 25th, it resembles a pile of loose bricks.
Sounds like a text message, actually.
That's a text message, that's right, for brevity. But when the prepositions are added, I went to the cinema with my friend on the evening of the 25th, the bricks are fastened together.
Why have they been such a problem?
I think people, perhaps they don't read as much, or they are careless about their use. Let me take an example that you've probably heard of. People now say, bored of.
Instead of
bored. The older prepositions were bored by or bored with. You see, what will happen is that bored of will probably get established. To people of my generation, it sounds wrong. It sounds incorrect.
How do you go about learning the correct use of prepositions?
I think one way might be to read the good writers who will rarely make an error of this kind. And a bad way is to listen to interviews with athletes and sports people or even sports commentators. They are very careless about the way they use these terms, and people just simply copy what they hear.
Now, for people learning English, prepositions create a sort of a special challenge because of phrasal verbs and the fact that a term,
right.
Let's say, like...to set up, set down, set aside, all mean completely different things.
That's right. You just have to learn what speakers use. The phrasal verb might be to fall out with somebody, which means to quarrel or to disagree. I would put up with that. You know, it means to tolerate, to stand up to somebody is to resist somebody, and so on. To turn something down is to refuse. All these have to be learned independently without any rules to guide you.
And then there's also context, because these phrasal verbs tend to be more informal, more casual.
Yes, I think so, and I think one should make a distinction between written and spoken English, so that what would be unacceptable in written English would be perfectly allowable in speaking.
In a meeting or in a...
Meeting, that's right, or off the cuff. I mean, many of these mistakes occur, and perhaps I'm being too strict sometimes, because many people make these mistakes when they're speaking off the cuff, without preparation and so on.But if they're writing, they should have time to think about what they're putting down on paper and to revise it or to show it to somebody else for a second opinion and so on and so forth. So there should be ways of eliminating mistakes of this kind. Can I ask you a question? Do you say you congratulate somebody on something or do you congratulate them for something?
I say, congratulations on your promotion. I mean, that sounds...
Congratulations for your promotion?
I'd say
on. What you will hear a lot is congratulations for. For is one of these cuckoo prepositions that come in and disturb all the other birds in the nest and knock them away.
Wait, so which what do you say?
Well, I would say that on is the standard form, but there's no doubt that for is elbowing its way in and might replace on in the course of time. So it's only time will tell whether on will disappear, and that's happened many times that words that were acceptable at one time have ceased to be so.
David Thatcher in British Columbia, Canada, has written Saving Our Prepositions, A Guide for the Perplexed. It's a free book that can be downloaded at savingourprepositions.com.
And that's Wordmaster for this week. With Aviar Didi, I'm Roseanne Scherbel.